I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Wings. An evening focusing on the role of women in war and peace unfolded on April 23, 2003, at New York City's historic Cooper Union. It was organized by writer and activist Daniela Gioseffi in collaboration with Cooper Union's Center for Writing and Language Arts and the Feminist Press, publisher of the book Women on War, an international anthology of writings, edited with an introduction by Gioseffi. What follows is a sampling of the three-hour program, beginning with an introduction by Gioseffi, who hosted the event.
I envisioned this evening, when I brought the idea to the Feminist Press, with the idea that we writers network with some of the women's peace and social justice groups. So tonight we'll be hearing in this great historic hall from the various groups that are here tonight tabling, and you're certainly welcome during intermission to make contributions and buy their wares and especially look at their literature, because our great future hope, from Code Pink to the Women in Black to the Women's Strike for Peace to the Dixie Chicks, women's groups and organizations for peace are growing and proliferating around the globe, just as you know the international peace movement is growing. Enhudwana, 2300 BCE, Sumerian poet priestess, first known poet of civilization, man or woman, wrote a war protest poem, Lament to the Spirit of War. You hack everything down in battle, God of War. With your fierce wings, you slice away the land and charge, disguised as a raging storm, growl as a roaring hurricane, yell like a tempest yells, thunder, rage, roar, and drum, expel evil winds. Your feet are filled with anxiety. On your lyre of moans, I hear your loud dirge scream. Like a fiery monster, you fill the land with poison. As thunder, you growl over the earth. Trees and bushes collapse before you. You are blood rushing down a mountain, spirit of hate, greed, and anger, dominator of heaven and earth. Your fire wafts over all our land. You decide all fate. You triumph over our rights. Who can explain why you go on so? This is by Wisława Szymborska. She received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1996, born in Poland, where she continues to live. She's a translator of French poetry as well as many other things. She's won so many awards. Literature Laureate of Poland. Children of the Epic. We are children of the epic. The epic is political. All my daily and nightly affairs, all your daily and nightly affairs are political affairs. Whether you want it or not, your genes have a political past, your skin a political tone, your eyes a political color. What you say resounds. What you don't say is also politically significant. Even coming through the rye, you walk with political steps on political ground. Apolitical poems are also political. And in the sky, there's a moon that's no longer moon-like. To be or not to be, that is a question, oh darling. What a question. Give a suggestion, a political question. You don't have to be human to acquire a political meaning. It's enough to be petroleum, cattle fodder, raw material, or just a conference table whose shape was disputed for months. In the meantime, people were killed, animals died, houses burned, fields grew wild, as in distant and less political epochs. So you can find that poem for inspiration in Women on War. And now I'd like to welcome Nina Kassian to the stage. Nina Kassian is one of Romania's leading poets, born in Galați, Romania. She has published more than 50 volumes of poetry, children's verse translations, short stories. She's also a composer of chamber and symphonic music, a journalist, and a film critic. Politically exiled, she has made her home in the United States, where she's taught at New York University, University of Iowa. She is well known for her protest against the repression of the creative spirit by the Ceausescu dictatorship. She knows what it is to flee your homeland, to have your books burned, to survive and go on. Her most recent collection, Take My Word for It, was published in English, both here and in London. Please welcome Nina Cassian of Romania and the United States.
So you are going to forgive or overlook my accent. Memento Hiroshima on a Japanese beach. Blind children are brought to the beach. They bask in sun and enter the waters. The heat, like a huge woman, hugs them. Gentle waves kiss their eyes. Wind combs their hair. Sand puts slippers on their feet. Only the colors can do nothing for them but meander here and there over sand and sea, over hands and eyelids. And the children are orphaned by colors, and the colors are orphaned by children.
Mary Ann Muller is assistant pastor of St. Vincent Ferrer Parish of Brooklyn, which provides sanctuary for Voices in the Wilderness workers when they visit New York. She's a president of her chapter of Pax Christi, a worldwide organization of peace workers. Please welcome Mary Ann Muller, who will quote from a piece in Women on War by Myriad Corrigan McGuire.
Thank you, Mary Ann Muller. Thank you. Thank you, Daniela. Good evening. The story of this letter is interesting to me because I remember when Myriad Corrigan McGuire first became prominent. Back in 1976, in the summer in Northern Ireland, a British soldier shot the driver of a car. He was a 19-year-old member of the IRA. He was killed, and the car went out of control and up on the sidewalk, where it killed three of the four children of Anne and Jackie McGuire. They were 6 weeks, 2.5, and 8.5 years old. It left the mother, Anne, in a coma for 2 weeks. They did not expect her to live. She did live, but it left her psychotically depressed, along with other injuries. In the 3.5 years after that time, she had two more children. And in January of 1980, her 10-year-old son, the only one who had not been injured in that accident, came home to find that his mother had committed suicide. Mairead faced this tragedy by joining with a Protestant woman, Betty Williams, and organizing peace marches of 500,000 people. For that, Mairead and Betty won the 1976 Nobel Peace Prize. She has gone on since then to stand for justice and human rights all over this world. She married her brother-in-law after her sister died. They had two more children. She raised those five children while she did this work all over the world. In 1999, she went with my cousin, who at that time was heading up the Fellowship of Reconciliation, Father John Deere, over to Iraq, and she met Umreda. Now, she's called that, which means the mother of Reda, because her daughter and her son were killed in the Amariah shelter during our bombing. In that shelter, 408 bodies were identified, mostly women and children. We thought Saddam Hussein might have been there back in the first Gulf War. He wasn't. but 408 people have been identified as being there, and many people believe that there were countless others there. For many years after that, she sat by the shelter and told people what happened so that the story would not be forgotten. Mairead was one of the people that she met, and Mairead wrote a letter to her. And I am just quoting a small part of it. It's in the book. Dear Omreda, you told us that one night during the Gulf War, many hundreds of people had gathered in the shelter to celebrate the end of Ramadan. That night, the shelter was struck by two American bombs. Of the hundreds present, only 14 people survived the inferno. Your son, your daughter, and 13 of your relatives were among the dead. We were moved to tears when we saw the photographs of the victims, most of whom were women and children. You told us that you had worked since that day to keep the truth alive, for them and for the world. I remember so well your passionate plea for the story to be told about what happened, and your call for no more wars. How much we need to hear your voice in our world today. Since then, I am haunted by the memory of the burnt imprints of bodies fused into the concrete walls. Your gift to me that day was your gentle presence and your witness to truth, the truth that each person's life is precious and unique. You have suffered so much, yet your dignity as a woman and as a mother was shining from within. You remind us that even in our brokenness and vulnerability, the human spirit is magnificent. Together with millions of men and women around the world, you are a source of hope and an inspiration for all of us to practice forgiveness in the search for justice. You give us the courage to believe in ourselves and in each other. When I see you in my mind's eye, standing in front of the shelter, I think that you are living proof of the transforming power of love. That transforming power of love is the motivating force behind the group that I work with, the Voices in the Wilderness. Voices in the Wilderness was founded by Kathy Kelly and Father Simon Harrick back in 1996. When word was getting out about the horrors of the sanctions for the people of Iraq, when it became known that 5,000 children under the age of 5 were dying every single month in that poor land as a result of the sanctions. That's 20 World Trade Centers filled with babies falling every year. Do you remember when Madeleine Albright said on 60 Minutes when confronted with that fact, "We know, but we think the price is worth it"? Group of people were sitting around there, and one of them said, "Someone ought to do something about that." And another person turned and said, "You're someone." And from that comment, Voices in the Wilderness, headed by Kathy Kelly, who's arriving home from Iraq tonight, where she's been for months. That group was formed and has worked through the past 7 years to do something for the people in some small way. We have sent over more than 60 groups, which is against the law in the United States, to send the groups over there. The result has been that we face $120,000 in fines at the present moment. And this week, Voices in the Wilderness was prevented, forbidden, to meet with reporters in the Palestine Hotel in Iraq. And they were forbidden to meet with United States government officials. That's United States democracy in Iraq. And they were forbidden because they're telling the truth. And the truth is that there is no plan to take care of the people of Iraq. There was nothing done in advance. The situation there is desperate. It was desperate to start with because of Gulf War I, because of Desert Storm, because of Desert Fox, because of the bombings that went on week after week after week, all of these years because of the sanctions that decimated that poor land. And now, once again, our bombs have dropped. leaving mothers weeping at the graves of their children, leaving mothers in the hospital holding on to their wounded children, leaving children crying out, "Who will give me new hands?" And their mother is buried and not there to answer that question. Everybody can do something. Everybody, every one of us can do something. I think for myself, the thing that bothers me most in the entire situation that President Bush has put us in is when he blames this all on God, when he says that God is on our side. That's what bothers me the most, because I don't know his God. I don't know who his God is, but I know my God, and my God is standing in a rock, and she's weeping.
Thank you, Marianne Mueller of Voices in the Wilderness. You can pick up literature about these wonderful groups during intermission.
You're listening to excerpts from the program Women on War and Peace, recorded at New York City's Cooper Union on April 23, 2003. It was organized and hosted by poet and activist Daniela Gioseffi.
And while our military junta is searching for chemical and biological weapons in other countries, we have 8 major stockpiles right here in the United States. There's the Bluegrass Army Depot in Madison County, Kentucky, in Appalachia. There are huge stockpiles in Umatilla, Oregon, Thule, Utah, Pueblo, Colorado, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Anniston, Alabama, Newport, Indiana, and Aberdeen, Maryland. Altogether, there are literally millions of artillery shells, mortar rounds, bombs, rockets, made even more deadly with high-potency poisons and radiation. There are spray tanks that can turn an airplane into a lethal crop duster. Some of the weapons are filled with sarin gas, which is lethal as doses in it in one tiny droplet. Others are spiked with nerve agents, VX or GB, which are stronger still. There are bulk containers filled with ancient mustard gas, which was used to such brutal effect during World War I, and that's still hanging around. The vast majority of Americans are unaware of all this stockpiling in our country, and we need to make them aware. But Jane Cortez knows it, and she's known it for years since she wrote a poem that was in our first edition of Women on War, Stockpiling, way back in the 1980s, which appeared in the first edition of Women on War and appears there again. Unfortunately, it has not lost its vitality. Performance artist Jane Cortez has published many books of poetry. Her work has been translated into 28 languages. Cortez has also released a number of recordings, many with her band, the Fire Spitters. In 64, she founded the Watts Repertory Company, and in 72, she formed her own publishing company, Bola Press. Welcome, Jane Cortez.
Hello, everybody. Stockpiling is a poem about weapons of mass destruction, and I wrote it for the UNESCO War Against War poetry event in Paris in 1982. Stockpiling, 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 stockpiling. The stockpiling of frozen trees in deep freeze of the earth. The stockpiling of dead animals in the exhaust pipes of supersonic rockets. The stockpiling of desiccated plants on death root of an abscessed tooth. Stockpiling of defoliants in pine forest of the skull. The stockpiling of aerosols in pink smoke of a human corpse. Stockpiling, stockpiling. Look at it through antibodies in the body, through multiple vaccines belching in the veins, through the cross-infection of viruses swelling in the mouth, through benzene vapors shooting into muscles of the stars, through gaseous bowels of military fantasies. Look, this stockpile marries that stockpile to mix and release a double stockpile of fissions, exploding into the shadows of disappearing space. Global incapacitation, zero, and boom! This is the nuclear bleach of reality, the inflated thigh of edema, the filthy dampness in scientific pants of a Peace Prize, the final stockpile of flesh dancing in terrible whooping cough of the wind. And even if you think you have a shelter that can survive this stockpiling of communal graves, where are you going with the sucked liver of mustard flint, the split breath of hydrogen fumes, the navel pit of invisible clams, the biological lung of human fleas, the carcinogenic bladder of sponges, lips made of keloid scars, memories in numb sections of the chromosomes? Just where do you think you're going with that stockpile of contaminated stink? When I think of the tactical missiles plunging into the rancid gutters of the sun, artillery shells of wiretapping snakes hissing and vomiting into depths of a colorless sky, the accumulation of fried phosphoric pus graffitied on fragile fierceness of the moon, the pestering warheads of death wings stockpiling feathers upon feathers of feathers in the brain. When I think of the mass media's larval of lies stockpiling in plasma of the ears, and the stockpiling of foreign sap in fluxes of the blood, and the stockpiling of shattered spines in chromium suits under polyurethane sheets, I look at this stockpiling, at this rotting vegetation, and I make myself understand the target. That's why I say I'm into life, preservation of life now, revolutionary change now, before the choking, before the panic, before the penetration of apathy rises up and spits fire into the toxic tears of this stockpile. Stockpiling, stockpiling, stockpiling.
The Brooklyn Women's Chorus is a community chorus that was formed in 1997 by musician Bev Grant. The chorus has a repertoire ranging from South African freedom songs to socially relevant songs by contemporary American songwriters. They sing on many themes, including women's labor history. The Brooklyn Women's Chorus communicates with a joyful voice, sure to uplift anyone who hears them. Please welcome Bev Grant and the Brooklyn Women's Chorus.
Peace, salam, shalom. 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 Peace, salam, shalom.
We believe in peace.
Salam, shalom.
We believe in peace.
Salam shalom.
We will work for peace.
Salam shalom.
We will work for peace.
Salam shalom.
We will work for peace.
Salam shalom.
We can live in 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 peace.
Salam shalom.
Shalom.
In
Hebron,
salam shalom.
In Bethlehem.
Clara Sala is a poet and spoken word performer. She's performed throughout New York City on numerous campuses, and she's just received a 2003 New York Foundation for the Arts grant in poetry. Clara's been a RAWA supporter for years and is proud to have her poetry published on the website of the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, which works closely with the Afghan Woman's Mission in California. She's working on her first book of poetry, The Edge of Creation. Please welcome Clara Sala.
The first piece I'll read is a piece called Afghan Bleeds, and it was written during the Afghan Civil War that was instigated by the US and the USSR. Afghanistan, O land of bravery and beauty, who devoured you? Beasts of prey, what is your crime? Pursuit of happiness and liberty, brutes garbed as men out to denude you of dignity. Afghanistan, envy of paradise, reduced to ashes by fire and fury, fire that burnt life and liberty, beauty and dignity. Your bereaved Kabul, where arson and rape reign supreme, where death is cheaper than life, where life must cry and moan, where children die before they are born, where chastity is molested day and night. Hills, valleys, and lakes glow in blood and fire. The enemy of humanity, fundamentalism. Thank you.
Thank you. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children, keep the circle whole.
You've been listening to excerpts from the program Women on War and Peace, recorded at New York City's Cooper Union on April 23, 2003. The evening featured 16 women performing their own work or that of others, which are included in the anthology Women on War, edited by Daniela Gioseffi. I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Wings.